This morning I want to continue our thoughts of the gifts of Advent. As I said earlier on in the meeting, Claire brought the first two, the gift of Mary, which was joy through the Magnificat, and then the gift of the angels, which was this radiant light heralding the good news. This morning I want to look at the shepherds and what they could possibly have brought. You know, shepherds in ancient Palestine had a very, very bad reputation. It was one of the oldest professions, and yet it was one of the most despised professions. They were rough men. They were thieves often. Their honesty and integrity was so questionable that they weren't even allowed to testify in a court of law in those days because they weren't trustworthy. These shepherds that these angels appear to were probably crude and tough. And let's be frank, you probably wouldn't want your sister to marry one. And if your daughter brought one home, you'd be highly annoyed and want to show him the back door quickly. Shepherds were so far down on the list of social outcasts that the only people lower than a shepherd were lepers. So that gives you an indication where they came in the social structure. Their job was to guard sheep from human and animal predators. And it wasn't uncommon for a shepherd to have to pay out if a sheep was lost under their care. And they'd have to pay out from their own salary. And quite frankly, therefore, they did their job very, very well indeed. We often have a picture, don't we, of shepherds being older men. If you get it on a Christmas card, you'll get your white bearded gentleman with his crook. That's not true necessarily, because it was actually young men that did the job of shepherding. The youngest members of the family were the ones sent out to the fields to look after the animals. As you know from the story of David, David was the youngest of the family. What did he have to do? In the fields, looking after the sheep. In the eyes of men, shepherds were a most despised group. And yet, the one invitation, the only one invitation that God sends to visit the young family comes to these outcasts from all respectable society. God chooses not to send an invite to anybody else to come and see the Saviour of the world. He chooses the worst. He chooses these rogues and vagabonds. And out in the fields, they received the message. God's love was for all. And what better way to show it than to invite the worst of society to come and see the newborn baby? I give the shepherds credit. They were men who faced reality. They were real people. And living in the wild, they had to face reality. And so out in the fields that first Christmas night near Bethlehem, they faced this terrifying reality of this dazzling show appearing from that before their eyes. And they were terrified. Even though they were rough, tough, they were scared. They didn't deny anything that happened that night. It was a unique intervention of the Almighty God. They didn't say it was a dream. They didn't think they'd been on something that had caused it to happen. They faced the reality of what they were seeing for what it was. Having been told by these heavenly beings that a baby had been born, they could have doubted this information. They could have ignored this information. They could have had any number of excuses that would have kept them from checking out the story that they'd just heard. They could have sat there debating it all night. They could have analysed and sat thinking what they should do. Could they afford to leave the sheep? What would happen if nobody was there? What would happen if something happened while they were gone? Talking, a bit more talking. Actually, sometimes you and I can actually talk ourselves out of responding in faith to a situation, can't we? We think about it a little bit too much when actually the initial response was the right one. They could have rejected what they'd been told. They could have said, well, this isn't for us. We're just rough, tough shepherds. Don't apply to us. And in faith, we often reject what we think demands too much of us. But actually, that night, these real people, these shepherds, dealt with the real situation by choosing to believe. They faced the reality of the situation and they dealt with it. And for the shepherds, this wasn't just an invitation. It was a moment of great learning. What did the angel announce? He said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Our God is not just a righteous God. He is a Savior. He's not just a God of justice, but a God of love. Listen again to these remarkable words from the prophecy of Isaiah. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born." And 700 years later, Jesus Christ would come to us as that light, the sign of God's love for each and every one of us. You know, these shepherds were real people, rough, tough, rugged. And yet, they too needed a Savior. And just like the shepherds, you and I are real people. And every one of us today needs a Savior. That night, the shepherds would learn that they could know the Savior personally. That was the whole marvelous truth for them. What does the well-known Christmas carol say? "God rest ye merry gentlemen." And in it, there's a line that says, "To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray." Well, Jesus is coming to earth. His death on the cross made full payment for our going astray. And that wasn't all. His resurrection from the grave, conquering death, would give us hope for eternity for all who would trust in him. And by his Holy Spirit, this is the good news. He can be personally be with us, each of us, today, forgiving our sins, guiding our thoughts, strengthening our wills to live for him and for others. You know, through the incarnation of Christ, this coming down of God to live amongst us, the incarnation, through this incarnation, God did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Just think about that for a minute. God did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And by sending this sweet little Jesus boy, God simply says, "I love you and I can forgive you and I want to forgive you. I love you, I can forgive you and I want to forgive you." Many of you will have read the books of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a remarkable Dutch woman, and she suffered for her Christian faith. She was incarcerated by the Nazis in the concentration camp at Ravensbrück just before Christmas in 1944. And she was put there because she would help the underground in Holland protect Jews from the certain death that the Nazis would have given them. And her and her sister were incarcerated in Ravensbrück. And just before Christmas, 1944, she saw her sister die in that camp after brutal treatment at the hand of the Nazis. And her sister's last words to her in that concentration camp, that Christmas, were these. The sister said to Corrie, "We must tell people what we have learnt here. And what we have learnt here is that there is no pit so deep that Jesus Christ is not deeper still. There is no pit so deep that Jesus Christ is not deeper still. And that is the remarkable truth of Christmas. You know, the sister and Corrie ten Boom knew the reality of the Saviour. And you know what? That first Christmas, so did the shepherds. They were rogues. They were rough. They needed a Saviour. And actually, the Saviour had come for them and for us all. In 1969, Neil Armstrong was the very first man to set foot on the moon. And after setting foot on the moon, President Richard Nixon said, "This is the greatest event in human history." Jim Irwin was another astronaut who would himself walk in the moon, on the moon 2 years later in 1971 during the Apollo 15 mission. And when Richard Nixon said that, as a Christian, he stood up and he said, "I disagree. The most significant achievement of our age," Jim Irwin said, "is not that man stood on the moon, but rather that God in Christ stood on the earth." God in Christ stood on the earth. I think for a lot of people, that whole thought of God in Christ standing on our earth is one that's very unbelievable. I find that when I'm stood outside with my collecting tin, when I've got the band playing nicely away and I engage in a conversation, many people get Christmas, but what they struggle to grasp is this whole notion that God in Christ could come and set foot on this earth. In the story we read from Luke chapter 2, it says this: "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger." You know, having had a load of angels appear before them in dazzling sight, that could have been very unbelievable. And yet these real people who faced the reality of the day, these real people who needed a Saviour, chose to believe and chose to embark on a discovery of testing out that wonderful thing that they'd been told, that God indeed was standing on the earth. And so what did they do? They went and they found Jesus Christ for themselves. As I come to the end of just the little thought for this morning, this Advent season, we've been looking in awesome wonder at the gifts of Advent. So what was it that the shepherds did bring? Well, they brought the only gift they had. Themselves. That's all they had. Nothing else. They brought themselves. They realized that if they were going to find the truth for themselves, it was up to them to go and search for it. It wasn't going to be posted in a card through their letterbox or appear to them on a hillside. If they wanted to find the truth of what they had been told, they had to go look and search and find. And that is exactly what they did. They got up, they finished their chatter, they left the sheep, and they went walking. And they went and found the Messiah. Those who were used to looking after lambs responded to the invitation, and there, in a stable, found the Lamb of God, a real Saviour for themselves. This morning, on Christmas Eve, are you willing to embark on the search for God in Christ on this earth yourself? You may have already done it many times, but are you willing to do it afresh? For God asks you to bring nothing to Him. He doesn't ask for a gift of gold or frankincense or myrrh. He simply asks you to bring yourself. And he simply asks you to respond to this remarkable truth that he has indeed come to be with us, to be our Saviour. Will you today, like the shepherds, come and find him? And on this day, as you're busy preparing everything else, will you prepare this heart of yours once again to know, see, and receive the Saviour of the world? It's a beautiful little carol that we don't sing very often. It's one of the more popular ones, but it reminds us that actually in the bleak midwinter, Christ came to us all. And that final verse asks, what can I bring him? What can I bring him? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. But actually, what is it that God asks that we each bring today? He says, bring yourself. Bring yourself. And so this morning, I simply invite you to come to Christ and bring yourself afresh in this place. As we sing, the words will appear on the screen. And it might be that on this Christmas Eve, in the quietness of the moment, you might just want to come and bring yourself to Christ. And it might be appropriate for you to come and kneel at this place of prayer. It might just be appropriate where you are to quietly reflect on the words. And like the shepherds, recognize your need of a Saviour. Recognize the reality of your situation. But also recognize that actually the greatest truth of our age is not that man stood on the moon, but rather that God in Christ stood on the earth to know you. Sing with me. In a quiet attitude of prayer as we reflect on the message this morning. Just quietly this morning in the bleak midwinter.
Snow.
for us as we close our eyes. You know, it's a really simple message this morning, isn't it? About real people that dealt with a real situation. About real people who are in need of a real saviour. About real people who discovered the real truth for themselves. They did something about it. They'd heard an astonishing claim. And so rather than sit and talk, they did. They went looking, and in searching they found. They had nothing else to bring, so they brought themselves. And that's what we each do this Christmas Eve. We bring ourselves. We bring ourselves to the manger, to the sweet little Jesus boy. And we give him homage. We see in that little baby our salvation. We see in that little baby God saying to the world, I love you. I don't care about the past. I love you. And therefore, I'm going to step into your world. I'm going to come in human form. And this little baby's going to grow into an adult. And that adult will reveal the very nature of God. Because anybody who's seen this son of mine has seen the Father. And that little baby as an adult will eventually die at the hands of humanity who reject his message of love. But that won't be the end, because that will be the act of redemption. The act of redemption will be there for you. And I'll raise that adult. And in the same way that I raised Jesus from the dead, I'll do the same for you. And so today, the great truth of the incarnation can't be separated from the beautiful truth of the resurrection and the ascension. What will you bring him today? Will you be willing, as a real person, to bring yourself? Very quietly, before we open our meeting, to just a couple of prayers, let's use that last verse, so that we can bring ourselves to God today. What can I give him, poor as I am?
What can I give him?